From the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network studios in Des Moines, I'm Mark Magnuson, and welcome to Iowa Ag Matters. In today's show, Riley speaks to Greg McBride of Allendale for the latest weather and crop conditions in South America. I wrap up my conversation with Grant Kimberly of the Iowa Soybean Association as we discuss sustainable aviation fuel, and Dustin talks with Tyler Williams about Bayer's expanded carbon program. It's time now to welcome our hosts, Dustin Huffman and Andy Peterson.
Well, it is another beautiful, mild start to the week, looking like we're going to have even warmer temperatures. Why did I say start to the week, Andy Peterson? It's like the start of the middle of the week already. I seem to be already falling behind in what days I'm in, but maybe that eclipse threw me off. I don't know. But as I was saying, it's a beautiful day out there. And of course, as those days promise to get even better here as the week goes on, it's no surprise you already had emailed us over before the show and saying, hey, I'm going to be probably starting to hit the field here pretty soon. So, you know, we're going to have to make sure we've got some scheduling adjustments made. And Andy, I'm sure you've been chomping a bit quite a while to get in that field.
Well, and specifically get the planter in the field, which obviously there's 17 things that have to happen in each field before the planter ever gets there. You know, you mentioned the eclipse and potential ramifications. Having a girlfriend who works in retail, there's some very real ramifications, eclipses and full moons, but that's a whole other conversation to talk about at some point. Ahead of a big report day tomorrow, what's happening market-wise? We start, as always, by analyzing the grain trade. Mark Magnuson, we say good morning to him, visiting with Jim McCormick from AgMarket.net.
Joined today by Jim McCormick of AgMarket.net for our opening market discussion. Jim, what's happening here on Wednesday?
Hey, good morning. We're seeing a little bit of a mixed bag. We had the corn and the wheat market finding and catching a little bit of a bid here in the overnight market. The beans, on the other hand, were steady, a little bit weaker. What we're going to see today, Mark, is a lot of positioning for the USDA report that comes out tomorrow. We did get a flash sale this morning. Looks like somebody came in and wanted to buy some beans, 254,000 metric tons of beans to an unknown buyer. Looks like somebody wanted to jump in and buy a little bit before the report tomorrow, which is always a good sign.
And thinking about the report tomorrow, we know that we have our big things that we're going to be looking at. We're talking about the Brazil production numbers, those ending stocks numbers here in the United States. Is there anything else, Jim, that you have circled going into the report that you're interested to find out tomorrow?
Well, it's going to be a little bit interesting. You mentioned Brazil. There's a huge discrepancy on what the Brazil crop size is on the beans, of what the South Americans are saying and what the Americans are saying. But then we had that a little bit in Argentina yesterday. Argentina made some revisions that kind of surprised the people down on the Argentina corn crop. So the market will be looking to see what they do. On the domestic side, those quarterly grain stocks came out. The government makes their adjustments from it. We're looking for maybe feed and ethanol usage to be up a little bit, maybe feed usage for wheat down a little bit. I mean, in general, I'm not looking for much of a game changer on this report. I think the market will trade it. We will no doubt about that. But the reality is the market's focus really is going to be moving on to planning. Right now, it's kind of a tale of two cities. If you get east of the Mississippi River, we're quite wet where I'm at. There's more rain coming across the Midwest or the eastern Midwest here this latter part of the week, where the West, where you're at, not quite so much. So, the markets we watch to see how quick everything can get planted will be the next next headline we're looking at.
And we know that coming up here recently, it sounds like we're going to find out about the sustainable aviation fuel, the guidelines there for the emissions model and everything that goes into that. We know, Jim, this could be a potential boom market for renewable fuels and then the demand for corn and soybeans here in the country. And that's going to be something that we're all going to have our eyes on when that is announced. What do you think about kind of the timeline of where we're at?
Hopefully sooner than better. They keep kicking that can down the road as they've been trying to get these requirements figured out. I think hopefully they'll get it done sooner than later, and it's something I think very desperately we're going to need. The reality is we continue to lose export shares to the market, to the Ukrainians as well as the South Americans, and I think that trend is going to continue, unfortunately. And so if we do not find another outlet for the crops we are producing, renewable diesel, sustainable aviation, and the ethanol, we are going to overproduce and we're going to drive prices way too low. So this is something that's very critical, I believe, for the American agriculture, but not to mention, I think it's very good for the environment. I think it's good for the U.S. economy as we build these plants out to drive those jobs here in the United States.
We'll have more from Jim McCormick of AgMarket.net coming up later on in the program, talking livestock numbers. But right now, Andy Peterson's here. He's got the first round of the three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
It's time, says Iowa Senior Senator Charles Grassley, to put the Farm Bill on the agenda. And he says he sent a message that's critical to all Iowa farmers to the majority leader.
Last week, Majority Leader Schumer sent a letter to the Senate colleagues. The letter laid out Schumer's priorities for the Senate in coming weeks. Notably missing from Schumer's agenda was the Farm Bill, just like Americans don't eat. As you know, the Farm Bill authorizes the work of the Department of Agriculture. This work touches every American at least three times a day.
And producers, even more than that, the senator says he remains hopeful a Farm Bill can get done in 2024.
Number two.
Getting off to a good start is critical. The first 28 days after planting corn are extremely important to building the corn crop's yield factory, according to AgriGold agronomist Leslie Lloyd, who says if you, quote, get off to a slow start, you can produce an average to above average crop, but it'll be an uphill battle. As far as his outlook for the growing season, he says farmers are faced with the dilemma. Planting early usually pays dividends in yields, but also comes with an elevated risk of cool, wet soil leading to uneven emergence.
Number one.
A big improvement in helping to support the state's $32.5 billion animal ag industry, the ribbon cutting for the Iowa State University College of Veterinary Medicine's new veterinary diagnostic laboratory and the groundbreaking for the second phase of the construction project.
We're actually somewhat unique in that we, of course, do all species and we're the only fully accredited and the official lab, veterinary diagnostic lab for the state of Iowa. But we're also the largest food animal center diagnostic laboratory in North America, and if not the world. And so because of that, we have this really very rich flow of diagnostic case material that descends to Ames from across Iowa and really throughout the country each day.
Director Roger Main says the core of the mission is to protect and enhance the health of animals in Iowa and across the country. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
By the way, happy 50-degree soil temp day. At least that's the forecast, according to the Iowa Mesonet site, for basically the entire state today to get at 50 degrees or above, which is, of course, a key planting number. We'll get an update on the South American crop, continued dryness, and the impact on the markets next on Iowa Ag Matters.
Well, of course, we are watching not only our planting progress, but what's going on south of the equator with our neighbors down in Brazil and Argentina and finding out what's going on there. Riley Smith talking with Greg McBride of Allendale, getting this week's South American crop update.
First off, Greg, what's the latest weather patterns looking like for Brazil and Argentina?
Well, nothing that's really earth-shattering at this point. The 1 to 5 day forecast for both Argentina and Brazil shows some rain. So no major concerns about ongoing production at this time. Looking at the 6 to 10 day forecast, very much the same as the 1 to 5 day. There is a little pocket on the eastern edge of Brazil, but overall most of the country for both Brazil and Argentina are getting good rains. And then in the 11 to 15 day forecast, a little bit of southern Brazil is on the drier side, but the rest of the country in good shape. There are some heavier rains coming into Argentina, so that'll be something to watch as we get closer to that time frame. They have had multiple bouts of excessive rain, so you might end up with some quality issues there as they progress through their growing season.
You know, another big focus for the marketplace. What are we seeing, potentially for changes down there for Brazil and Argentina, both from here and from other reports coming from South America?
Yeah, so what we're looking at is Ag Resource just released an update for their thoughts on Brazil's crop. They actually have increased their soybean number from 143.92 back at the beginning of March. Now here Just as of this morning, they're up to 145.46, so about a million and a half tons higher on that soybean number. Still, all of them are still significantly lower than the USDA. USDA, as of March, was at 155. Now, Ag Resource hadn't updated corn for quite a while. They had a number back at the beginning of December that was at 120 on their Brazil's corn, and now they've lowered it to 114.19. And if we go back to where the USDA was in March, they were at 124. No major changes to that one. CONAB, for what it's worth, is at 112.3 back in March. So still significantly lower than where the USDA is. As we start to look out to this Thursday's report, trade estimates here in the U.S. Have Brazil decreasing the USDA's number from 124 to 121.75 on the average, and having the beans dropping from 155 to 151.68. I would say that's probably a little more realistic. The USDA has been far too high for too long, but some of these other groups are a little bit too low. So somewhere right in the middle there. On Argentina, no major changes that we've seen. Now, we have seen some local estimates out of Argentina dropping that corn number from 56 to about 54. We've even seen some that have come in closer to 53. But the USDA came in at 56 last month. We're looking for them to kind of stay a little bit conservative on that corn, maybe about 55.5, so about a half a million tons lower on corn. And nobody's really touching the Argentine beans just yet. The USDA was at 50 in May or in March, and most of the estimates are still coming in right around 50. The average guess is 50.5, so actually up a little bit on this estimate.
April is full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, farmers can be proud of the work they do to produce the foods that people eat all over the world. So if you take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you thank the American farmers who produce the food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
We'll take a look around the state here at elevator prices. Some movement going on, some stronger basis. Of course, planting time is traditionally difficult to find some deliveries as other activities take priority. Dustin with the numbers straight ahead on your authentic, official, and trusted voice of Iowa agriculture.
And it's time to run down those elevated prices for you here on Iowa Ag Matters for this April the 10th. I'm Dustin Huffman. Seeing a little bit of a gain in the corn markets, anywhere from a penny to a dime higher in most of the elevators, but we did not see much movement at all in the soybeans. Let's take a look at where things are today. Let's start at ADM Burlington. They're 3 cents over on corn today at 437. Soybeans 12 cents under at 1166. Cargill Eddyville, a nickel over on corn, their cash bid 439. New Co-op Algona, 2 cents over on corn, 436. Soybeans 55 cents under at 1123. Ag State Sheldon, 25 cents over on corn, 459. Soybeans 65 cents under at 1113. Ag State Elta, 9 cents under on corn, they are at 425 for the cash bid. Soybeans 55 cents under at 1123. Cargill Cedar Rapids, 15 cents over on corn, 449. Soybeans a nickel under at 1173. Nexus Co-op in Marble Rock, they're 15 cents over on corn, they're at 449, soybeans 45 cents under at 1133. Lincoln Way Ethanol Nevada, 12 cents over on corn, they're at 446 for the cash bid. ADM Des Moines, 15 cents under on soybeans, cash bid 1163. New Co-op in Red Oak, they're a nickel under on corn at 429, soybeans 50 cents under, they're at 1128. Mid-Iowa Cooperative Green Mountain, 15 cents under on corn, 419 for the cash bid, soybeans 50 cents under at 1128. New Co-op Sheraton, 22 cents under on corn, 412, soybeans 55 cents under, cash bid 1123. Walk-On Feed Ranch, 8 cents under on corn, they're at 426, soybeans 35 cents under at 1143. New Co-op Glidden, 2 cents over on corn, cash bid 436, soybeans 50 cents under at 1128. Innovative Ag Farley, they are 3 cents over on corn, 437. Soybeans 40 cents under, Cashbit 11.38. And a Cargill Muscatine, they're a dime under on corn. They're at 424. Soybeans 11 cents under, they're at 11.67. Just want to remind you, cash, corn, and soybean bids are subject to change without notice. Always be checking with your local elevator when making sales to obtain the most recent price. And that's been a check of the basis prices here on Iowa Ag Matters.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
We've still got more markets to come, including a complete rundown of the midday numbers here on Iowa Ag Matters. Mark and Andy have that coming up right away here for you. Also, don't forget about our free market podcast with analysis sent right to your mobile device free of charge 3 times a day from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network, available on Amazon, Apple, Spotify, Google, and Podbean. More IAM coming up next.
Conversation continuing here on Iowa Ag Matters. Andy, Dustin, Riley, and Mark today on your authentic, official, and trusted voice of Iowa agriculture and the tentacles of the sustainability movement in agriculture are far-reaching. A lot of discussion around E15 year-round sales, a lot of discussion around the GREET model and perhaps how we make U.S. ethanol a primary feedstock for sustainable aviation fuel. A lot of it translates to what happens on the farm, and Dustin Hoffman files this report.
Well, earlier this year, Bayer announced it will be enhancing and expanding its carbon program to include more crops and more states. It all starts with expanded enrollment eligibility and allowing for more revenue streams on more farms. Tyler Williams is an agronomist in the carbon program with Bayer, and we talked with him about what we're going to see in this expanded carbon program offering.
Yeah, so the biggest message from the one today is all about like expanding. So we added, 12 new states, added 9 new crops, added some more flexibility to the agreement, added a nitrogen management option for growers. So it's really kind of building out that whole message of bringing more eligibility to the farmer. Programs have always been somewhat limiting and like, where do you fit, right? How do you fit? So I think every year we do these, we're able to kind of be a little bit bigger for the farmer, a little more opportunity to really fit for where the farm can where it makes it work for them. I mean, I think one of the things that the industry's really figured out that is if this doesn't work on the farm, it doesn't work anywhere. And so I think we're kind of seeing that change a little bit in the opportunities that are coming.
Williams adds that while revenue for farmers is an important component, the most important aspect of the Bayer Carbon Program is to do better for the planet and the future of the ag industry.
And the first slide on any presentation I ever get is an agronomic slide. Because I've been talking about these practices for my whole career, no-till, cover crops, and all of the things that can happen when it works right in your farm, you do it right. And so it's before it came cool, right? before it came a thing was really kind of building that far part into the farm. The organic matter, the water holding capacity, all of the things that we know can benefit in addition to the environmental benefits are number one. We can make that work on the farm. It's like, all right, now let's start to figure out how we can make that happen. And that's really where some of these other opportunities, the financial opportunities that didn't exist all that long ago, exist today to help kind of speed up that transition, or if nothing else, kind of plant that seed of, hey, maybe I'll give this a shot this year.
William says you have to understand that change doesn't happen overnight.
Base our program around primarily no-till, strip-till, and cover crops. So, reducing tillage, building cover crops. We know the benefits that can happen there, the building organic matter, kind of keeping that carbon that comes in from the atmosphere, keeping it there in the soil. But you're right, it's not overnight. It takes a long time to cycle. The carbon cycle can be fast and slow all at the same time. So you're going to see, the residue on the surface is very easy to see, but the down in the ground about 6 inches, you're going to take a number of years before you can see that. So, and we've even heard farmers say that you don't see the benefit from the water holding capacity or the soil structure for years of doing it. And from my experience, farmers that really take in and do it for a few years, they really don't look back. They see that benefit, their system is adjusted, and then they go forward. And so we, our agronomy team in particular, is really kind of focused on that early transition period to make them be successful, because I think then they'll take off and love it and keep doing it and kind of make adjustments as you go forward. It's making sure they have a good experience the first few years of doing it, so you just don't give up and say, it doesn't work.
And while we're seeing expanded acceptance of these kinds of programs, there's still quite a bit of resistance from many farmers. And Williams says there is a noticeable trend towards the changes in agricultural practices, and farmers should at least be doing a little research to see what works best for them.
There's enough demand out there in the different spaces, whether it's corporate or, you know, government programs or whatever it might be. There's enough demand out there. I think it's sort of like sustained demand, right? It's not just one coming from one spot where it could go away. There are enough places out there that see value beyond the environmental value that I think will withstand some of this. So my message always is to farmers, you know, just at least check into it. Don't completely ignore it. Don't put it off as it's a, you know, kind of a flash in a pan, right? Just check it out, take a look, see what works in your area, because a lot of times these are very geographic specific, or fits good for your operation. Because if it doesn't work for the farmer and the other entity, it's not a good relationship, right? It has to work, and it work for both, and then they can be successful. So my message is, don't completely ignore it. Pay attention, ask the questions.
That again is Tyler Williams, agronomist with Bayer. It's time now to get back to Andy Peterson. He's here with round two of the three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds has signed Senate File 2204, which is legislation that will strengthen Iowa's foreign ownership of farmland law. Iowa Secretary of Ag Mike Nagy released the following statement, adding that Iowa's, quote, precious and productive farmland, keeping that in the hands of Americans is an issue I've heard about continually as I've traveled our state, and I, quote, share Iowans' deep passion for protecting this valuable resource.
Number two.
It's time, says Iowa Senior Senator Charles Grassley, to put the Farm Bill on the agenda. And he says he sent a message that's critical to all Iowa farmers to the Majority Leader.
Last week, Majority Leader Schumer sent a letter to the Senate colleagues. The letter laid out Schumer's priorities for the Senate in coming weeks. Notably missing from Schumer's agenda was the Farm Bill. Just like Americans don't eat. As you know, the Farm Bill authorizes the work of the Department of Agriculture. This work touches every American at least three times a day.
And producers even more than that. The senator says he remains hopeful a Farm Bill can get done in 2024.
Number one.
A big improvement in helping to support the state's $32.5 billion animal ag industry. The ribbon cutting for the Iowa State University College of Veterinary Medicine's new veterinary diagnostic laboratory and the groundbreaking for the second phase of the construction project.
We're actually somewhat unique in that we, of course, do all species and we're the only fully accredited and the official lab, veterinary diagnostic lab for the state of Iowa. But we're also the largest food animal center diagnostic laboratory in North America, and if not the world. And so because of that, we have this really very rich flow of diagnostic case material that descends to Ames from across Iowa and really throughout the country each day.
Director Roger Main says the core of the mission is to protect and enhance the health of animals in Iowa and across the country. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff. Celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
You know, as we continue here on Iowa Ag Matters, I would be remiss if I didn't honor National Siblings Day. So a quick shout out to my brothers and sisters. And that is all. We're going to come back with a check of your midday markets coming up here right away. Mark and Andy going to have those for you here on Iowa Ag Matters.
This is the Midday Market Update on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson. Joined today by Brian Splitt of AgMarket.net for our Midday Market discussion. Brian, what are we seeing taking place in the grains today?
Quiet trade overall, Mark. We do have corn and wheat trading higher, really led by the KC wheat, the hard red. The corn market's really just been in a sideways trading range for about the past month. And if you look at the lows that we had during the month of March, down at 422, and then the March high at 448, the midpoint of that is 435. We were just there, 10 minutes ago. So corn is the definition of consolidation right now ahead of the report tomorrow. Expectations are for the USDA to trim the old crop balance sheet a little bit, based on, number one, the quarterly stock report that we had, with stocks coming in a little lighter than expected, but also just the pace of our export sales run, where we're running there versus the USDA's goal for the marketing year. Corn for ethanol is another bright spot, where just the price of corn and the price of natural gas, your two inputs for plants, alongside the price of energies and how those have performed since fall, that should continue to be a bright spot for corn demand.
That's the latest on the grains. Here's Andy Peterson with more livestock news.
Daily estimated cattle slaughter total mark 125,000 head. That's 5,000 more than a week ago and 1,000 more than a year ago. Boxes have cooled off a little bit. In fact, choice boxes are steady, believe it or not. 30209 on 96 loads of movement. Select 37 cents lower on 22 loads of sales. That spread now at 219 as the select boxes stand at 299.90. Off to pork. Daily estimated slaughter total numbers there. 480,000 head, 9,000 less than a week ago, 8,000 more than a year ago. Cash markets wrap up yesterday's trade for comparison purposes. Barrels and gilts, producers sold on a carcass basis. Negotiated purchases, we finished yesterday with 9,300 head of sales, so a magnificent run there. Weighted average price coming in at $93.77, up so a whopping $7.45. Formula purchases, 154,000 head with the weighted average price at $87.60. That market was about 20 cents stronger. Now, as far as what's happening mid-morning here today, we see that the price action in negotiated purchases is basically flat at $89.53 on 2,700 head of sales. Formula purchases, 105,000 head, so a light run. Weighted average price jumping $3.10 to $90.09.
April is full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, farmers can be proud of the work they do to produce the foods that people eat all over the world. So if you take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you thank the American farmers who produce the food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
May corn up 2 3/4 at 434 even. May soybeans down 8.5 at 1166 even. May soybean meal down $1.70 at 333.90. May soybean oil down 50 cents at 47.02. Chicago wheat up 1 1/4 at 559 even. Minneapolis wheat up 4 3/4 at 656 even. Kansas City hard red wheat up 14 3/4 at 592 even. On the Merck, April live cattle down 70 cents at 180 even. April feeder cattle down $1.10 at 239.60. May lean hogs down $2.25 at 96.52. That was a check of the midday markets on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson.
Well, once again, Jim McCormick joining us from agmarket.net as we get ready to talk about the livestock numbers and what's going on here as we are going through the trade today.
Let's flip over to the other side of the ag marketplace in the livestock complex. What are we seeing with the protein sector?
A little bit of consolidation on the cattle market the last couple of days. After kind of just the hard bloodbath we've seen literally the last couple of weeks due to their bird flu story, the funds were long a lot of protein. When they saw the headlines, they sold aggressively. They've liquidated a lot of positions. It looks like that panic selling has mitigated and ended. If it has, hopefully we can start working this back up. Overall, the cash market's come down a little bit, but not down near as hard as the futures market. And that tells me, hopefully, that we've got some demand for this product. Remember, we're just moving into the prime grilling season here. Chicago, we've had a couple beautiful days. We're, month and a half out from Memorial Day weekend. And hopefully that demand will show back up. And the fear selling that has been here will mitigate, and we'll start bringing these prices back up.
for the hogs right now? Are they still standing in a decent spot, or is it still, Jim, that you feel like most of what's happening for the hogs is related to those headlines we've gotten from avian influenza, and maybe things will settle back down a little bit?
I would argue yes. I think you're right. I mean, I think overall the hog industry's, you know, supply's there, the demand's probably there, but there's no doubt about it. They were selling live cattle, they were buying hogs. The cattle collapsed, the hog market caught a huge run up here recently on that. If you could start seeing some stabilization in the cattle market, I would expect for the hog market to pull back a little bit as they kind of unwind that trade.
And in talking to your producers here in the Midwest and specifically Iowa, Illinois, we know Illinois, you've gotten more rainfall than we have here in Iowa recently. But right now, what does it sound like for farmers that are getting ready to get in the field? Are they just days away, Jim, or are they a little bit longer here before they start planting?
Where I'm at, it's going to be a little bit longer. There's still fields with a lot of water in them right now. Like I said, we've got more rain in the forecast here tomorrow. So we're not really behind. I think our plant date for insurance is April 10th. So we're today. So we're not behind, but there's no doubt about it. The producers around here are getting kind of itchy trigger finger to get it going. I know you get to southern Illinois. We've had some clients of far southern Illinois start planting. We've had some clients in Missouri start planting. And I'm guessing where your neck of woods, they'll be going relatively quick with these forecasts.
Jim McCormick of AgMarket.net, our guest here today. What is the best way for our listeners to get in touch for more marketing information?
You can reach me directly at 815-665-0461. Reach any of the AgMarket members at 844-424-6758. Any questions or any like some of our research, go to AgMarket.net.
April is chock full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Garlic Month, National Pecan Month, Filipino Food Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, National Garden Month, National Soft Pretzel Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, Iowa farmers can be proud that they help produce the foods that people eat all over the world. If not for farmers around the country, and especially here at home, none of these celebrations would be as easy to observe. American farmers truly are helping feed the world. So if you're going to take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you take the time to thank the American farmers who produce food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable for you and your loved ones. And also, if you're going to celebrate around all these food products, make sure you invite your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. We'll bring an appetite as we help support American farmers, especially here in Iowa.
Part two of the conversation with Mark and Grant Kimberly of the Iowa Soybean Association and CEO of the Biodiesel Board is straight ahead on Iowa Ag Matters.
Well, as we continue talking about sustainability, as we talked about carbon programs earlier, but as Andy mentioned, biofuels, very big part of that. And of course, the sustainable aviation fuel question still going on as to what's it going to look like? How are we going to make it happen? And, of course, the airlines are all chomping at the bit to see something happen, and they are asking agriculture to be a part of that. Grant Kimberly with the Biodiesel Board of the Iowa Soybean Association talks with Mark Magnuson.
Sustainable aviation fuel. We hear a lot about ethanol and how it ties into SAF. So where does the soybean side and the biofuel side for the soybean come into sustainable aviation fuel? Is that just part of the mix?
Yeah, it's part of the mix. When we talk about the aviation fuel side, there's different what we call pathways. And the ethanol to jet or the alcohol to jet pathway is the one that the ethanol industry is talking about. Great opportunity there for them. But our pathway is more what we call the fats and oils pathway. So it's a technology where you can take fats and oils and turn it into jet fuel. And actually, that's probably the one that we're going to see take advantage of it first, because it's the one that already meets all the low carbon emission requirements. And it's probably the easier technology to convert to sustainable aviation fuel initially. These renewable diesel facilities I talked about, all they have to do is take it through a little bit longer of a processing method, and basically they can come out on the other end with aviation grade fuel. And so this alcohol to jet is one way, but yes, fats and oils, which we're going to use soybean oil, is the other way.
And it's very interesting because it seemed like just a few years ago, this seemed kind of like a, you know, down the road, kind of a dream, I guess, really, for powering these planes through these renewable sources. And now we've actually seen it. We saw an actual flight fly from England to the United States. I believe that was in November. And that was with some of the oils and fats that you're talking about that were powering the plane.
That's right. You know, a lot of the airline companies are all looking at this because, again, you can't electrify a plane very easily. So, and I don't think any of us really want to be flying on an electric plane at 35,000 feet over the Atlantic or Pacific Ocean. So, again, we're going to use the same engine technology, but we can use these drop-in fuels that are lower carbon and achieve these same goals. And these companies, they want to achieve a lower carbon emissions goal. And that market still has some time to go. It's got a long ways to go here to really get everything in place before it becomes a really big market. But the potential is there. I mean, just in the United States alone, I think we're talking well over 30 billion gallons of demand for aviation fuel. So a lot of exciting things for biodiesel, renewable diesel, and aviation fuel.
And really what all we're talking about today, and you know, you being the very definitely the person to talk to about this, driving that demand upwards. And this is all these sources are driving demand for the Iowa soybean farmer.
It is. This all comes back to agriculture derived feedstocks. And soybean oil on the fats and oil side is the most readily available oil that we have in the country. It usually makes up well over 50% of the feedstock mix. And so we're going to use all kinds of vegetable oils and animal fats. It's good for the livestock industry, but certainly soybean oil is going to be the leading part of that. And then what this does, it also makes us so we need to process more soybeans. We're going to have more meal now available. That should lower the meal costs. And then we're going to diversify our export markets, go to other markets around the world that want meal rather than whole beans, which is a good thing for us as well from that perspective.
So with soybean farmers you've talked to, do they realize, you know, kind of exactly what's happening and being right on the vanguard of really these expanding new areas for technology to utilize the entire soybean?
You know, I think a lot of farmers are starting to realize and see this almost fundamental shift and change we're starting to see in our marketplace. Maybe not to the same degree that I do or whoever is in this in the weeds every single day, but it's coming. There are changes happening, and long term this should be a really good thing for the soybean farmer. Solidifies the demand that we're going to have for soybeans for a long time to come, and we're going to have to grow more soybeans down the road.
He is Grant Kimberly with the Iowa Soybean Association. Grant, thanks so much for the time. Appreciate always when we get a chance to speak with you. Have a great rest of your week.
Thank you. You too.
April is chock full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Garlic Month, National Pecan Month, Filipino Food Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, National Garden Month, National Soft Pretzel Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, Iowa farmers can be proud that they help produce the foods that people eat all over the world. If not for farmers around the country, and especially here at home, none of these celebrations would be as easy to observe. American farmers truly are helping feed the world. So if you're going to take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you take the time to thank the American farmers who produce food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable for you and your loved ones. And also, if you're going to celebrate around all these food products, make sure you invite your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. We'll bring an appetite as we help support American farmers, especially here in Iowa.
And just like that, we are out of time here on the Iowa Ag Matters program, but you can keep up to date with everything that we're up to here at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network by going to our website, iowaagnet.com. And of course, we've got three times daily your market podcast to keep you informed on your favorite podcasting service. Thanks to Dustin, to Riley, to Mark, and to you for being here. Be safe today as more field activity is underway. And of course, if you're seeing one of those large machines on the roadway, we certainly urge your patience. See you tomorrow here on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.